Welcome everyone. I'm Ming Mei. Very nice to see all of you here to support my talk. Tonight the talk will be focused, of course, on my new and seventh novel, The Witch's Market. But it will be divided into like three parts. I'll talk about my book, and I'll talk about Chinese magical practices. I mean, feng shui stuff, metaphysical stuff, because actually it's all, I mean, most I describe in my book in different situations. And then I will sign copies of, not all my books, some of my books. Actually, I have 14 books. I don't know how many I brought here. They're only $10 a copy, so it's cheaper than you get from Amazon. So don't lose the chance. And the children's book are more for if you want it for gift, that kind of thing. And okay, I'll start. Okay, first I want to say something of about what the book is about and why I came to write this book. Do you like the title?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's a very good title. But I didn't make up this title. And first, look at how I dress tonight. Do I look like a witch? I hope. No. I hope I look like a witch. That's how I dress tonight. All black and everything. Okay, The Witch's Market. I get the idea for this book based on two things. First, I'm going to talk about one metaphysical experience I had. There was several years ago, I went to a concert, and I knew the musician. I mean, I knew her, but I really disliked her because she's a mean person, she's nasty, and I mean, she's not very good. So I went to her concert, and she started playing, and I really disliked the style and everything, very pretentious. And then I told myself, why doesn't the string break? And then she couldn't go on playing. So I kind of focused my eyes on the strings, and I willed her string to break, 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 break. Pa! It broke. It's real. I'm not lying. It's a real experience. Do you think I was very happy, very excited? Oh my God, I was very scared. Because I'm really scared at that time. I mean, I didn't mean it. I'm not a mean person. I just didn't like that person. And then I just, what's going on in people's mind, right? You do all kinds of bad things to people in your mind, but doesn't mean that you really mean it. I didn't mean it, but the string broke. I was very, very scared. And I was, oh my God. Do I really have that kind of power? And what would you do if you suddenly realize you might have some supernatural power? What would you do? A lot of Chinese, because the 特异功能, many years ago, right? The 特异功能 in China, 特异功能, a lot of people would try to further develop the power, right? So they can do something other people can't do. But for me, is I completely stopped. I was so scared. And I even thought that maybe it's not very ethical. You know, because what are you going to use this power with? To harm people? Of course, I'm not going to harm people. But then what's the point? Okay, that's the incident I wrote into my novel. And because the novel is about this young Chinese-American professor, she came from a long lineage of shamanism. 巫婆的傳統的那個女教授. She came from this long tradition of shamanism. Her grandmother, this is in the novel, not real life, and her great-grandmother were both famous shamanism. But she said, I'm a modern woman, I'm not superstitious, so I'm not going into this field. Okay, so to kind of compromise, she became a professor of shamanism. So it's from a scientific point of view. So she just, you know, did research on shamanism. Okay, but one evening, an incident completely changed her life. And this incident, I wrote it, is based on my real experience. So she decided, okay, so I have to take a year's leave from my teaching, and then I go to the Canary Islands to research on witches, because it's supposedly there are some real witches, you know, in one of the islands. Any of you have been to the Canary Islands? Canary, I think, is pronounced. You know where the Canary Islands is? Anyone, have you been there? Okay, let me see my next slide. This is the Canary Islands. It's very scenic, and it's a lot of nature, beach and everything. And now, of course, it's a lot of tourists, but the novel is set earlier, not, you know, it's contemporary, but not like modern day. Okay, so she went to two islands. One is called the Tenerife to research on witches. And also another reason is because she wanted to test whether she did have this supernatural power. If she was going to deal with the witches, then she could tell, right, whether she had the power or not. So she went to this Canary Islands. 中文是译做加纳利群岛。 不知道大家听过加勒利群岛，所以个女主角喺嗰本书咧就去咗呢个岛嗰度咧，就去做research on witches 啲巫。Okay, this is one of the gardens in one of the islands, and you can tell that it's very exotic the place. And also the islands, especially the Tenerife Island, they host a carnival every year. You know, carnival. So I wrote a carnival in my novel, and something happened in the carnival, needless to say. All kinds of metaphysical stuff. And the carnival, actually, you can tell that they dress in Chinese, right? Chinese dress, Changsang. So in the carnival, actually, they have kung fu demonstration. They also have Bruce Lee, a lot of Chinese stuff going on. Why? I don't know. So my protagonist, her name is Eileen. So she went to the islands to look for witches and to test her ability, metaphysical ability. And of course, she had many, many adventures. And then all my novels, the protagonists, all have many adventures, including she met a castle owner, an older, very wealthy castle owner who tried to seduce her. And because she fainted actually outside the castle's lake, completely naked, so she couldn't really accuse the castle owner of seducing her. Okay, and then she also met a very mysterious widow whose daughter supposedly drowned in a lake called the Past Life Lake. But then the widow insisted that actually her daughter was murdered. So I flew in the beginning of the novel, I flew in a murder mystery. I never wrote any murder mystery before. So I don't know what got to me. So I wrote a murder mystery. So you know what happened after I started the murder mystery? It became so entangled with the whole novel, I couldn't take it out later. But I couldn't figure out who was the murderer. So I had a lot of nightmares and headaches because I had to think of who was the murderer. Finally, I figured it out finally, and I bet no one can guess, right, who was the murderer. And then she also ran into, you know, a crazy old sculptor and a furniture maker. And the sculptor, of course, have a lot to do with the novel, the plot of the novel. Okay, the other reason I wrote this novel is because of this pretty woman here. My Chinese friends, do you recognize who she is? Mm-hmm. Maria Das, the younger, you know, who is she?
Sammo,
okay? Okay, she actually was my favorite author, but a lot of people kind of look down upon her, saying that she's not literature, she's just kind of commercial stuff, but I don't look at it that way. I really, really love her writing. It's because she's very true to her feelings, and she is not writing fiction. She writes travel memoir, travel articles, you know, travel essays. She claims herself to be a drifter. In Chinese, it's 流浪, Lao Long, okay? But I couldn't find a word in English, what is Lao Long in English, so I just call it drifting along, you know, drifting along. A wanderer, maybe you call it. She's a wanderer, yeah. And she lived in Africa for a long time. Africa, the Sahara Desert, with her much younger husband. And she wrote a lot of essays about her life in the Sahara Desert. And she became extremely famous and popular in Taiwan, and then later in China. So I really, really loved her writing. But that was many, many years ago. And she already passed away about 25 years ago. She's a legend. She's really legendary, and she's a very charming personality. Okay, look at some of her pictures. Okay, this is her again. And you can see she likes ethnic dresses and necklaces. When she was younger. Okay, she lived in the Sahara Desert, and that's one of her pictures. And she also lived in the Canary Islands for a long time. And if you're familiar with the islands, supposedly, actually, it was first mentioned in Homer's Odyssey. 河马的史诗就先系谈到，即系讲到呢个，讲到呢个这个岛，这七个岛，不是岛。 Okay, so it's supposedly the islands were guarded, I mean, according to legend, by beautiful seductress, the nymphs. So, but also supposedly there were a lot of golden apples hidden in some of the caves. So that's why the sailors were lured to their destruction by this beautiful woman. They tried to get the woman and the apples because they were too greedy, so they all lured to their death. So, okay, and let's look at Echo. Her name is Echo in English. Echo Chen, that's her name. This famous writer. Okay. This is her husband, who was 8 years younger than her. And they really lived a very, very happy life. I mean, they really love each other. And they were dirt poor. So during her wedding, according to her article, is she put a piece of celery, because she couldn't even afford flowers, so she put a piece of celery, a pink cantoy, put into her hair as her wedding headgear. Okay, and look at this. What is this? Skeleton, right? Okay. What do you use this for? It's a wedding gift. Can you believe? Her husband's wedding gift for her because they were so poor. And also the husband know that because Echo was a very, very eccentric person. That's why her writing is so good, because she's so eccentric. Because she could look at the world from a perspective you never even thought of. She's completely different. You look at the world completely different. You and I look at the world. So her writing is just so good. So her husband gave her this as wedding present. But as a Chinese, don't do this, because it's bad luck, right? For Chinese, don't do this. So it's not good. And the husband take a long time to find this completely perfect skeleton in the desert. He took him a long time. Okay, so this, when they were younger, living in the desert. Okay, so why I was inspired by Echo to write The Witch's Market, actually, I have two books inspired by her, The Witch's Market and the green one called The Song of the Silk Road, also inspired by her. Okay, it's because in one of her books, this is one of the books. What is Bakhafa in English? Huh? Lily? Oh, okay. Lily on the Valley? Is it in the Valley? That's the title of the book. And within this book, there is one article titled The Witch's Market. Okay, so I read this a long time ago. I completely forgot about it. But last year, I reread her book. I reread her book all the time, because I just love her so much. And this title just hit me as something so magical. I said, oh my God, The Witch's Market. Then my next novel will be called The Witch's Market. But I had no idea what I was going to write at all. I just liked the title so much. It has to be the title of my book. I had no idea. I had no plot, nothing. But I have the witch and the garden. So from there, I try to cook up something. Okay, so witch's market is something real. You know that, right? I mean, it's a real market in Bolivia. Bolivia, so this is the market. It's a real market because Echo went to Bolivia and went to the witches market, and she wrote a very short article about just 1.5 pages. And so this is the witches market in Bolivia. At first I meant to do research, go to Bolivia to do research, but then I read that they have very, what do you call it? Gosanjing, I don't know how to say it in English. Very thin hair, air, very thin. That means not enough oxygen. How do you say it in English?
High altitude.
High altitude. So I finally decided, okay, I'm not going to Bolivia. So I changed my location of the witches market to the Canary Islands. Because there's supposed to be witches there. That's why. Okay. This is what they sell at the witches market. Can you tell what that is? A lot of the time there's some yucky stuff. This, I think, is for tourists. Not as yucky and creepy. There are a lot of creepy stuff like dead animal parts, but I don't want to show those. And they, in the witches market, they sell charms, spells, dead animal parts for protection against evil, and what else? A lot of stuff. I don't remember now. Okay. So, of course, I have a witches market in my book, and I sell a lot more, too. Okay. See? Same necklace. This is Echo's necklace, not mine. And this is mine, of course. I didn't steal from her. This is her necklace. 三毛的那个项链. Okay, what happened? Because she has another book called My Treasures. So she has a lot of pictures and a lot of... she collects a lot of jewelry. But she only like costume jewelry. She hates real jewelry because she just didn't like it. So she only bought costume jewelry. She had a lot of toys. She had a lot of knickknacks. She has a lot of what else? Things. So each of this thing, she told a story. She always has stories. So this one is in her book. And I really like these two pieces, and they're cheap, they're not expensive pieces. And she bought from Thailand, she had a story, but I don't have time to go into the story. So this is from her book. I took the picture from her book. So I know about her jewelry because I read her book like, I don't know how many times. For a long, long time, only last year, I Googled some silver necklace, and then I read into this. I was so excited, of course I bought it right away, but I couldn't buy that one. I like that one better, the round one. I don't like the hot one that much, but it's a rare chance, so it's some kind of serendipity, some connection going on. So I was able to buy this one, so I'm going to wear it today for the talk. Okay, and this is, I go quickly, and because I want to go to other things, and this is one of her collections, you know, in that book, and this is called the Mother Earth statue. And can you see the is it the light here? Can you see a head down there is the Mother Earth, and then the head above is her husband, and then you have a snake here, and then you have a sheep there. This is for fertility, so they used to bury it at the back, yeah, and then take it out once a year to put ointment onto the statue and make offerings, you know, to protection of the family. And we Chinese, we have something similar, 土地公, 即是那類的, 這個是大地之母. Okay, and this is another for collection, you know, ships, you know, she bought from all this market, different markets. Okay, I go into the second part of my talk. I'm going to talk about very ancient Chinese traditions, magical traditions, or you can call it superstitious, you can call it mystical, whatever. But it's magical tradition, customs, practice. This one is called beating the petty person. And Chinese, I'm sure you all heard of it. 打小人。Beating the petty person. Who are this petty person? Who are these little people? Bad people. Because Chinese culture, we talk about 君子, right? I mean the gentleman, and then we talk about the 小人, 小人, the petty person. Petty person are actually, let's say, if you have a lot of office politics, your office, a lot of people backstab you, badmouth you, all those people, you know, try to ruin your relationship, just they just needle you all the time. Those are the petty person. They're not going to achieve a lot, right? If you have the real evil, you might achieve because you have big chi, you have big energy. But the petty person never achieve a lot. So you have to get rid of this petty person. Petty person in your office or in your life because they just cause a lot of troubles. Okay, so there is a tradition, long tradition in China, how long I don't know, about beating the petty person. Okay, what do you do? What do you need as tools? You need paper. You need paper cut out in human figures. What for? To write your enemy, your nemesis name, and best is you have the birth date, and you write on his piece of paper. And then this little person, this little paper cutout, represent them, okay? And then you hire an older woman to beat this person, okay? With what? With shoes. So you need a pair of shoes. The better is your own shoes. And the best, I tell you, is high heel and with a very thin, because you really hurt. Knock it on that little paper. Okay. So, you need also a little small tiger statue. 老虎像, okay? That is because the tiger is supposed to protect you from all evils, villains, everything, evil spirits. And also, you have to have 猪腰, pork fat, to grease the tiger's mouth, just to bribe him so he'll do a lot of things for you. Okay, let's look at it. Look at the tradition. You see the person beating the paper? Is it clear? He's using a shoe, but it's not very clear. And of course, I mean, Chinese, we have so many gods, right, in Chinese culture. Why we have so many gods? The Taoist gods, we have hundreds, I guess. Why we have so many gods? In case one doesn't work out, right? Yeah. It's just all protected. It all cover up all grounds, so you don't have to worry. So your money god, you know, a god sending, you want a child, a son, you have a son sending Guanyin, you have all the gods cover all the problems you have. But then how come Chinese still have all these problems? I don't understand. We have all this god to cover up all our needs. Okay. So even young, pretty Chinese women, they all believe in this. And she is using her shoes to beat the petty person. You can, but it's not spite enough that heal. I mean, it's high, but it, but maybe she wants to cover more surface. Hit hard. Okay, she really works hard, see? You can tell. She really works hard. From her expression, you can tell. And these are the Lord Tiger. Really work hard. They might pay you a lot to really work hard. Okay, so when they beat that petty person, I mean that paper cut, and you have to have the name and the birthday. That's why Chinese don't give you the birthdays that easily. They don't want you to know because that's in case you put it and beat it with your shoes. Chinese don't give out our birthday that easily. It's much better if you give out the birthday and then they really hit you. Okay, so when they curse, and then when the older woman they beat on the petty person, she has to curse and call out the person's name, your enemy's name. They call out and then she recite this. I forget to give the Chinese version because it's all in rhymes. So it's very hard to translate when I translate because in Chinese it's all in rhymes. And in English you have to translate in rhymes too, and it's not that easy. Okay, let me read it to you. I beat you little man so your breath had no place to vent. I beat your little hands so they can't draw money from the bank. I beat your little feet so wearing shoes will make them bleed. I beat your little head so fortune will leave you sad. I'll beat your little tongue so you can't chew meat and might as well be a monk. I beat your little heart so your life is like the bitterest tart. It's a lot of variations on this one, but this is the best, so I chose this one. I didn't make this up. This is traditional. I mean, this tradition. Standard, yeah. Okay. Second, that one is kind of comical and funny, but this one is a little bit creepy, I tell you first. Ooh. Okay. This one is called the Underworld Tour. The Chinese is here. Underworld Tour. you went to the underworld tour to see the deceased loved ones, friends, or even enemies, maybe, but don't offend your enemy in that realm anyway. Okay, so this custom actually is pretty common in Taiwan. Taiwan, not China, I don't know much, but Taiwan, they're pretty common. Okay, you went to the tour. What are you going to do first? Blindfold your eyes first, so you're not distracted by the yang energy, you know, the more strong energy in this world. So you want to go to that energy, the other kind of energy. Okay, so there will be a medium. Is it called a medium?
Medium.
Okay, there will be a medium to guide you, you know, to the other world, and then you will see your loved ones. What actually happened, of course, I have no idea. I never tried this before. Would you dare to try? Would you dare to try the underworld tour? You do? Oh, no, not me. Too scary. Okay, so I'm going back to echo again my favorite author. She tried, and she actually was famous for having the ghost eyes. We call it the yin eyes, because yin yang in Chinese, yang is the bright, you know, the male, the brightest eye, you know. So yin refers to the female, and then the ghost world. Okay, so she was rumored to have the yin eyes. That means she could see ghosts, and she could be a medium herself. Medium or medium? Medium, right? Medium. She could be a medium herself. She wrote a lot of articles about her very strange anecdotes all the time, that it doesn't make sense in this world. So it has to make sense. You have some supernatural abilities. Okay, so look, let's see what happened here. So she did this. She covered her eyes, just like blindfolded, but she didn't blindfold. Why? Because it's just a small gathering. Her and one of her friends, an author, a man, a male, okay? And the name is Luke, so I call him Luke. And Luke, this guy, actually I met him last year in Taiwan, because Echo passed away a long time, passed away 25 years. And he was a good friend of Echo's, and I was really interested to find out more about Echo. So I found this guy in Taiwan, talked to him for a long time. So this guy published a book and about his experience with Echo, about going down to see someone. Okay, so Echo closed her eyes and she was writing something. Why was she writing? It's because Luke, the gentleman, the young man, told Echo she had some decisions she could make. So whether she wanted to just spend all his energy, oh, he and she, sometimes I get mixed up, his energy to write books, or he should keep he was a famous TV host in Taiwan, keep his TV job to bring in, you know, continued fame and fortune. So Echo said, I can answer that for you, but I could ask my teacher. And she called her teacher Baba, like father, but not adopted. But Chinese, we have a special arrangement. You can swan brothers, you can swan sisters, you can swan father and daughter. Do you have that in the West? Kai Kai. The Kai Kai Ma Kai Ye. Swan. You swan. No blood relationship, but you treat each other as real, you know. But it's not adopted. Nothing to do with that. So we call swan, you know. Okay. So her swan father was a very famous, he's deceased, of course, was a very famous writer in Hong Kong and China. Very famous. And actually it happened that he was also my teacher for very, very, when I was in college and in the class. Okay, so Echo said to Luke, she said, I can answer this question for you, but I could ask my teacher who was deceased. I'm going to go down to ask him. So she covered her eyes and go down to find the teacher. And seconds later, he said, okay, he's coming. He's coming. And let's see what happens. Okay, now this is Echo's handwriting. The Chinese, you can tell what is so special about his writing. Can you tell? slanted to the right, right? Very slanted. Normally, we don't write like that at all. Very few Chinese write like that. Very slanted, completely collapsed to the right-hand side. So if some people can tell the fortune by handwriting, there's a lot to say about her handwriting. It's very, very strange. Okay, and look at this. Completely different handwriting, right? Completely different. But both were written by Echo at the same time. Okay, what happened? Oh, no, not at the same time, sorry. This one is Echo's normal handwriting, okay? But when she went down to see her teacher, and she said, he's coming to me. And the teacher, of course, can't speak. Of course, he's deceased, right? But he could write something as an advice through Echo's hand. So Echo was writing, but in a completely different style. Completely different style. And this was a letter that the teacher told the young guy, look, what to do about his future. And toward the end, the teacher, Chou Yu, maybe some of you have heard about him. So the teacher said, I'm tired, I need to go back. The last few sentences, I need to go back. So how did he go back? Is it doesn't have a light here. You see what is this?
Yeah.
Circle, right?
Yeah.
He made 7 circles, but made through Echo, of course. He was dead for a long time. Made through Echo, he made 7 circles, and finally he said, I'm leaving. He leaving, and then he left here. The middle of the dot, and then he disappeared. Do you think this is real?
Yes,
I think so.
The strange thing is, because who witnessed the whole thing is the young guy. I mean, I talked to him a long time. Last year, I met him in Taiwan. Echo couldn't have written like this. Of course, I mean, she could imitate, you know, her teacher's writing and wrote something like this, but it's very unlikely because it's a long letter. I'm just showing you part of it. It's a long letter. And according to Locke, she wrote in the lightning speed, really fast, really fast. So, and in, you know, as if she was possessed or whatever. And, okay, so after this incident, they do believe that the teacher was alive, but in another realm. So it's up to you whether you believe or not, but that's, you know. Okay, anyone can guess what this is? Can't go back. Yeah. Channeling the spirit. Channeling. Or we can call it wielding the wand, because this is the wand that they will. Okay. The light doesn't work here. You can see this, right? It's a fog represents the in world, the world of the deceased. And this one represents the world of the living. Our world. Okay. Chinese look at residence because according to Feng Shui Master, you know, fortune tellers, you have the yin resident and you have the yang resident. Yang residents for people, for us, right, to live. The yin residents are cemeteries, graveyard cemeteries for the deceased to live. So in a lot of Taoist temple in Hong Kong, and when I was teaching at university, one of my colleagues, a very, very established a scholar on Chinese culture, and he told me, actually he asked me one time, would you like to come with me to see the channeling spirit, the gate? I said, no. I couldn't do that. I said, no. And he went by himself to a Taoist temple, and he came back, he told us the experiences. So this is one of the, I mean, activities, you know, the channeling the spirit. But there are different versions, different, you know, variations about how to channel the spirits. Okay, when you channel the spirits, you can channel, of course, it's all deceased, okay? But you can channel your loved ones, of course, as most people do, right? You want to know what your loved ones are doing, you know, in the other realm. But you can also channel historical figures. Let's say you want to channel Abraham Lincoln, or you want to channel Martin Luther King. Fine, you can channel them. But actually, according to those documentation in the temples, one time they did channel Lincoln, President Lincoln. You know, I mean, you can channel no boundaries. Of course, you can channel anyone, and you can channel what else? Even legendary figures. You can channel, you know, legendary figures. You can channel anything. But one thing is very important. You have to be very sincere. You cannot joke around. You cannot like take this as something. Oh, I don't believe it, but I just want to see what happens. I want to have fun. You don't do that. You have to be very sincere when you try to channel. So you make a prayer to yourself who you're going to see. So, and then they start to will the wand, so called, and then the spirit will descend onto the altar, so called, and you can see. Can you tell what that is? Sand. And then this guy will write on the sand. But there are sometimes they like to use child. The best is not past 6 years old. You know why? Because they're pure. They're still pure. They're not tainted by the world. So they won't lie. Of course, kids lie about, oh, I didn't break that. You know, I didn't eat that candy. That kind of lie is not really lies. Right? I mean, the children, they don't lie about complex things. Their brain, you know, haven't developed to that level yet. So they're pure. But after six, it's iffy. So the reason is they like to have children. And then, most of the time, they're blindfolded also. And then they just hold the thing. So the spirit talk through them. You know, not the child. It's the spirit talk through them. So they write things on the sand. And then one scribe, called scribe, will record, you know, what the kid write on the sand. And then will read out. And the amazing thing is, whether you believe or not, because let's say A, okay, or Mr. Smith, he wants to channel maybe his great grandmother, ask a few questions, but he has to be very sincere. You know, you pray, you purify yourself, and you ask the question, and it's already understood. Of course, you don't have to say it out loud. So the child, and then he just moves that thing, you know, and the answers will be on the sand, and the scribe will write down the answers and then tell the person that's what your great grandmother said or something like this. Okay, and what am I trying to say? Okay, so the amazing thing is, several times you can say that, oh, maybe a kid, you know, you really can't. I mean, if it's an adult, sometimes it's an adult, they can make it up themselves, right? But the strange thing is sometimes they would write in a different language they don't know. They write in Latin, they write in Greek. How can you explain that? Because that person doesn't know that languages. Or a young child, he will end up writing a whole poem in classical Chinese style, something like this. How can you explain that? Because the child couldn't possibly write a whole poem that long. It's just not possible. So you believe or not, it's up to you, but that's the Chinese tradition. It's called channeling, you know. Chinese, have you heard of this? Oh, how much time I have? I still have an hour, right? Anyone? Oh, it's called the Book of Life and Death. Have you ever heard of this?
Tibet?
No, it's not. I mean, Tibet might have it, but it's just Chinese. Any Chinese? 生死簿有没有听过? Yeah. Oh, okay. And it's written by the king of hell, Yim Lo Wang, the king of hell, supposedly. So what happened to these books is supposedly, actually, every one of us, our life actually is already pre-recorded in this book. All the details of our life, all already pre-recorded. But how can you have how will you have a chance to read it? I don't know. But anyway, The most interesting is the day of your death is already recorded, pre-recorded in this book. The day of your death. So people can, how to put it? So sometimes you have a chance to read the book. Oh my God. Can you change it? Can you ask the king of heaven to change it? Yes, you can. But then you have to do a lot of goods in this life to balance off some bad deeds you might have done in your past life, so you can change the day. I'm not going too much into this. Okay, and this is the Duke of Zhou, the Book of Dreams. Chinese believe in dreams. Yeah, they interpret dreams, and their story about people solving murder mystery based on the dream. Okay, so let me tell you one dream. Not my personal experience, but from my friend. My last year's novel is The Secret of a Thousand Beauties. It's about a ghost bride. Ghost bride, 鬼新娘. Have you heard of those? You might read my book already. So. Okay, ghost bride. Sometimes it's marry a human, a living person with a ghost. Sometimes marry ghost with ghost. So the different situations. Okay, I have a friend. Last year, actually, I visited him in Canada. And then he told me his mother just arranged a wedding for her sisters. Okay, what happened to the sister? Actually, they passed away when they were 2 years old. Toddler. Twin sisters, they passed away. And passed away, and life goes on, so nothing happens. But 20 years later, suddenly, the twin sisters, 20 years later, came to the mother's dream and told her, I heard it from my friends, so I didn't make this up, and told her that now we're adults, we're 20-year-old or 22, something like this, and we feel very lonely, so we want to get married to have husband, so can you arrange that for us? And Chinese take dreams very seriously. And why didn't the girls come to the dream to tell the mother all this year, 20 years passed, and suddenly now they're adult? They came to the dream to tell the mother. So the mother hurriedly tried to arrange, but of course they have to get a medium first. Medium first. And to find out a twin brother who died also at about the same age. And finally, she did find it. So they arranged a wedding for the two pairs. And after that, the daughters never come back. So that's why Chinese take dreams very seriously. Okay, let me tell you another example. I think that's about it. Okay, the second example is... it's a sad story, okay? It happened to my friend, actually, a very good friend of mine, but she passed away for maybe 20 years now, also. Extremely nice person, kind, very learned. And she had some kind of disease, I don't remember what, something to do with her lung. And we were both studying in France, but I left already and she was still there. And she... okay, she went to the hospital, but the doctors didn't treat her properly, so she died. She passed away, and her lungs with all kinds of, I don't know what, in her lungs, so she died. She passed away very young, in her 30s. Okay, so she passed away for a long time, and then what happened? Let me try to think. Okay, I was not in France. I left already. I went back to Hong Kong. But our mutual friends, there's several friends still in Paris, and all the girls decided, okay, we're not going to tell her mother because it's not possible. It's just too heartbreaking. So we just couldn't tell the mother. So what did they do, the girls? They imitate her handwriting and write letters to the mother. Regularly, I mean, not... frequently, but regularly. And not only that, they chip in the money because the daughter was, my friend was very filial. So, but she was not rich. She was poor. You know, she's a poor student in France. But she still managed to, any festival, you know, a few hundred dollars and send back to Hong Kong to the mother. Mother was very old, of course. And then these girlfriends chipped in together and sent the money to the mother. So it went on for how long? The mother didn't realize at all, thinking her daughter is still, you know, alive. Went on for 2 years. So finally, one evening, the daughter entered the mother's dream and told the mother, "I've been dead for 2 years. Please bury me. I can't go on like this." Very sad. And then the mother suddenly realized something is not right. So she booked a ticket with the help of her other daughter, came all the way to France to confront those governments. Of course, they all had to tell the truth. But at that point, they all had to tell the truth. And then finally, they had a ritual or whatever ceremony going on to appease her, everything. And that was settled. And she never appeared in her mother's dream anymore. I mean, so can you believe in dreams? I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? You just don't know. We don't know. Okay, let me see what else I need to talk. Maybe. Oh, I forget I need to read my novel a little bit. Just a little bit. Prologue, okay? The prologue. Prologue is to set the tone of the whole novel. Then, you know, what is kind of going on. I just read it so I don't have to wear my reading. Put on my reading glasses. Okay. When I turned the prologue from my novel, when I turned 33, I decided it was time for a big change in my life. It was time to become a witch. I have to admit that I was not sure if this would be a good idea. My name is Eileen, Love Lotus in Chinese, or Eileen Chen in English. Although I was Western educated and lived in a modern era, I believed somewhere inside me there lived a witch, at least in spirit. I grew up in a family who believed in anything metaphysical, however implausible. Both my mother and grandmother were witches, or what the Chinese call wu shamaness. Sometimes wu are also referred to as fang shi. You know the word, right? Fang shi. People who have mastered the way and thus have the power to manipulate reality. Both my mother, and actually Fang Shi, the Wu in Chinese, they mainly do like underworld tour, that kind of thing, channeling the dead. And out of course they cast spells, all those kind of things, and out of body experience, all those kind of things. Both my mother and my grandmother could predict the future, visit the past, see auras, and talk to invisible beings. Unfortunately, mother had died young in her 40s, to the great grief of myself and her own mother, my grandmother, Lao Lao. Because she had lost her daughter, Lao Lao wanted me to be a shamaness to carry on the family lineage. Besides healing, casting spells, going into trances, and taking on animal powers, she organized underworld tours. Lao Lao would also cast a Da Xiao Ren, beating the petty people. These spells would ensure that the trivial, touchy, gossipy little men and women who caused us endless troubles got what they deserved. From my mother and grandmother, I learned the basics of witchcraft. Empowering amulets, concocting, healing herbs, casting spells, communicating with the dead. And the great Chinese tradition of feng shui. Feng shui, fortune telling, of course. Finding out if a residence, whether yin for the dead or yang for the living, had good placement and energy flow. Though I was forced to study these skills, I never really practiced them. I pride myself on being a modern woman, not an old-fashioned or superstitious one. So, instead of becoming a shamaness like Mother and Lao Lao, I become a scholar of shamanism. After I got my PhD in shamanism, I started working as an assistant professor at San Francisco State University. 4 years had passed, and I desperately needed to get a book published in order to get tenure and a promotion to associate professor. The head of the anthropology department, Timothy Lee, had advised me to add a section on Western witchcraft to my dissertation, then publish it as a book. It was an excellent suggestion. However, while I deemed myself pretty knowledgeable about Chinese shamanism, my understanding of its Western counterpart was mainly secondhand from books. What is a witch anyway? Do they really exist? Are they just ignorant, crazy people who try to scare you to get your money? I decided that the only way to really know about witches would be to become one myself. Face of fear. Was I scared? Of course, but I had to write my book or otherwise I might lose my job. Timothy had hinted that he would highly recommend me for the promotion, but only if I got my book published. He always deemed me the best candidate because of my cultural background, which was filled with tales of fortune-telling, witchcraft, shamans, vengeful gods, voodoo, juju, and whatnot. activated for 3,000 years from the Stone Age into the electronic era. Did I really believe in witchcraft? Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I was of two minds. Part of me believed I was a witch and part of I cut off. Doesn't matter. So this is the prologue of my book. And let me see what else. I think that's about it, and then I'm going to sign. Oh, okay. And my husband, Jeffrey Redman, he's a doctor, endocrinologist, but he has been studying the Book of Change. That is his book. It's for sale too, if you want. But this is more expensive because the list price is very high. And he will do tarot cards reading for you, and also he will do I Ching reading for you, either tarot card or I Ching. But I want to sign my copies first because I want to read off my book so I don't have the burden in my mind. So thank you. If you want to purchase a copy, oops.